Hello, dear friends. My name is Michael Pickford, evangelist for the Southside Church of Christ in Smyrna, Tennessee, and I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to the following sermon. Please follow the example of those noble-hearted folks in Acts 17:11 and compare the following teaching with the Word of God. If, after careful examination, you feel the things I've taught are in accordance with God's Word, then I exhort you to apply these truths to your life, so that you may be a faithful servant of the Lord. On the other hand, if you believe I've taught error in any way, please contact me, and let's study together and try to come to the right conclusion based upon God's holy Word. You can find my contact information on our website at defendthegospel.com. That's defendthegospel.com. Now to the sermon. But our lesson is going to come from Psalm 124. Sometimes I think it's good to go back and to draw encouragement from the psalmist in the Old Testament, especially the psalms that were written by David, King David, a man who was after God's own heart. Psalm 124 is a short psalm. It only has eight verses, or has been broken down into eight verses later by men. But there are eight power-packed verses. And if you want a title for the sermon, let's simply call it Escaped. Escaped. You ever think about what a wonderful word that is? Escaped. If you've ever been bound or tied up or trapped, then you know what a great word the word escaped is. I remember growing up in West Tennessee, we used to go out to Clifton. One time we went out to Clifton, we'd known of some caves that were over there, so we went up there and we went into the caves of Clifton and we wandered around, and of course it was just dark as it could be, and we had very small flashlights, and there were times we wandered back in there in the belly of that cave, and at one point we were on our hands and knees like this, I mean, and still the top scraping us as we inched through, and then it opened up into a big old room, and so we got wandering around the cave again going, then we're inching again, we end up in the same place, we're lost. We didn't know where we were or how to get out of there. And as far as I knew, nobody knew we were there, because we weren't supposed to be there, so we didn't tell anybody we were going there. And I'm going to tell you, I was frightened. There were three of us. And so we kept going. We come back into the cathedral room again. And there's a tiny ray of light way up yonder. Just a tiny ray of light. We were calling it a rabbit hole. And I'll never forget Johnny Harris. Once we got in that room about the fourth time, he looked up and he said, "I'm going through that rabbit hole." And so he took off climbing up there. And Matthew Frank said, "I'm going with him." And I said, "I am too." I ended up being the last one and the biggest one. And I was wondering if those guys would even come back and get me. But we got up there and we squeezed through that hole, every one of us. We come out and listened. It felt so good that we had escaped. And we looked around and just right over there was the place we had entered. But what a good feeling it was to escape. You know, without Christ, we're lost in the world. We have no hope. We have no escape. Not without the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a terrible, miserable thing that can be. Because terrible things happen to us in this world and in this life. And I think about those that don't have Christ and those on the outside of Christ who are also facing the things we face. Bereavement, health issues. Yet they're facing it without Christ. And without that everlasting hope. And I'm so glad to have escaped that, and that I have hope in Christ. Psalm 124, verse 7, the Bible says, "Our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped." And we have escaped through Christ Jesus our Lord. And this Psalm 124, gives us three truths, very quickly, that we must appreciate in view of our escape. The first truth is this: we need to realize the Lord's presence. I want you to notice what is here a double declaration, verses 1 and 2. It says, "If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel say now, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us." I love that. He said, if it had not been the Lord was on our side, and then says it again. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, we need to always recognize that the Lord is on our side. And that He's with us and watching us. And I love how some folks put it in their prayer. I thank you, God, for your watch care over us. I love that. And keeping that in mind as we struggle and sludge through each day of temptation and tribulation, knowing that God's watch care is there helps to escape Satan's snare. Helps to keep us from getting back into that snare. And it also keeps us mindful of the great blessings that God has for us and keeps us grateful to Him for those blessings. Jesus, famous last words, Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20. He says, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." There's a truth that we need never forget, to remember that the Lord is with us. And the Lord Jesus Himself was a man. He Himself struggled through the things that we struggle with. The temptations, the trials, the tribulations. He Himself was shamed and spat upon. And He despised that shame. But He kept His eye on the prize. Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews chapter 12 and 1 and 2. For the joy that was set before Him, He kept going. I like those words in 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abound in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Our labor, our suffering, none of it is in vain. Not when we're in the Lord. Because we have that hope of eternal life. In Ephesians 1:3-4, Paul said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. In Him we have this, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him." Now this teaches me that when I think about God's watch care, not only is He with me, but He's watching me, and I need to live a holy life without blame. But another thing in realizing the Lord's presence is not only this double declaration, but also to understand the deadly danger. If you go back to our passage in Psalm 124, and it might take me a second because I failed to put my bookmark there, but go back to Psalm 124 and look at the latter part of verse 2. It said, well, we'll just get the verse. "If it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us." When men rose up against us. Now, sometimes men may rise up against us. We have all different kinds of adversaries in this world when it comes to other people. It could be the boss giving us a hard time. It could be our spouse giving us a hard time. It could be somebody trying to argue and fight to the death regarding a religious matter or a scriptural issue. Sometimes it's our brethren that rise up against us. But men will rise up against us. And yes, the Lord is there with us even during those times, and we need to remember that fact. But what is it that really rises up against us every day of our lives throughout the day? Temptation. How many days last week did you get a day off from temptation? Not a single one, did you? Seems like when we open our eyes in the morning, it comes rushing at us. There it is to greet us. Staying with us throughout the day. Trying to tempt us to be discouraged. Or to tempt us to tell this lie. Or tempt us to commit that sin. It's something that we face and struggle with every day. Keeping in mind that God's all-seeing eye is there helps keep us from falling back into sin and into Satan's snare. The Proverbs writer wrote in Proverbs 15:3, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good." It's always there, and we need to ever be reminded of the danger that is there. A friend of mine years ago used to build cell phone towers. They were always up high in the air. And he said every morning without fail before they went to work, they had a meeting and they watched the same video that warned about the dangers of falling. Because you tend to get careless and you tend to forget. I remember when I was younger, I used to help folks roof houses. And that first day, I was staying close to that roof and inching around. By day two or three, I was up walking around, skipping around on that roof, just foolish. Why? Because I got accustomed to it. You think about working way up there on top of that tower and just get accustomed to it, all of a sudden you get careless. So every morning they watch the same video to remind them of the dangers. Every morning we need to wake up and think about the fact that the eyes of God are on us to remind us of the dangers of slipping and falling in His sight. Here's a second great truth in relation to the idea of escape from Psalm 124. We see not only the idea of realizing the Lord's presence, but let's think about recognizing the Lord's protection. Verses 3 to 5 of Psalm 124. Then they would have swallowed us alive when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters should have overwhelmed us, would have overwhelmed us. The stream would have gone over our soul. Then the swollen waters would have gone over our soul. And so the Lord protects us from being devoured, doesn't He? They would have swallowed up. They would have swallowed us alive, it says, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. They would have swallowed us alive. The Lord is on our side in the face of all of our enemies. He's always there to protect us. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, the Bible tells us that Satan is always there too. He's always there to deceive us and to make us stumble and make us fall. But we need to remember that the Lord is always there to help us through those difficult times and those deceptive temptations. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith." We can resist, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Everybody is facing this every day. And we can be steadfast and we can resist and we can keep from being swallowed alive by temptation and by sin if we keep our minds of the Lord and if we keep our mouths to the ears of God. You know, that's the one of the greatest shields we have against temptation is persistent prayer. Jesus, in giving the model prayer in Matthew chapter 6, in part of that prayer, He said this in verse 13, "And do not lead us in temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." You know that feeling you get just after you've said a prayer? Already you feel stronger just by having prayed, right? And never mind the things you said in the prayer. And the realization that you remembered that God was there and that He hears you. All that alone strengthens you. But then God, through His providence and through the ways that He works that we don't understand, He's there and active and He helps and He responds to that prayer. And He gives us the strength we need to overcome. And so we recognize the Lord's protection from being devoured. And we recognize His protection from being drowned. You ever felt hemmed in? Just drowned in it all? Overwhelmed? I know there's a way out, but I can't see it. I know there's a light somewhere at the end of this tunnel, but they're so far down, I can't bring it to vision. We've been there. We've sunk so deep in the mire. I sometimes get the image in my mind of quicksand and a man sinking in quicksand, and he's right down to where he's in his chin. He's like this right here, and the tips of his fingers are out, and nobody's around, and there's no vine, and you know what must be going through his head. There's no way out. I'm completely overwhelmed. But with the Lord, there's a way out. Again, in Psalm 124, verse 4, Then the waters would have overwhelmed us. The stream would have gone over the soul. Then the swollen waters would have gone over our soul. Again, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. If it wasn't for the Lord, we would have been consumed. We need protection from temptation. We need protection from religious error. We're protected by prayer, but we're also protected by a knowledge of the Word of God. Peter warned his readers in 2 Peter chapter 3 about those who would twist and wrest the Scripture to their own destruction. And then he tells them in verse 17, "Since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked." Here's the remedy. He says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen." A working knowledge of the Word of God. That's what will help get us through. Ephesians 4, 12 to 14. The Bible talks about those leaders that the Lord has set up in the church, and He has there the elders and the teachers, the preachers. God has put those in place, if you read on, to keep us from being like children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, to bring us to a perfect knowledge of the truth. And yet we slight that, don't we? And we miss coming together with the brethren and getting that nourishment for the most meager reasons. We know the brethren are there. We know they're studying the Bible. We know they're learning, but I've got something else to do. That weakens us. That makes us weaker. The story about a local church, there's a man and his family, and they had kind of slacked off coming, and they come less and less, and it got to the point they hadn't been there in 2 or 3 weeks, and the preacher went out to visit them, and he went and he sat down in the big living room with him, big fire going in the fireplace there, and he said the preacher sat down, he looked at the man looked at him, and then the preacher got up and he got the tongs and he got one of the embers out of the fire, and he laid it there on the hearth, and he sat down, and they sat there quietly as that one little burning piece of wood got colder and colder and finally fizzled out. The man looked up at the preacher and said, "Preacher, say no more. I get the message. We'll be there Sunday morning." The message was, when you remove yourself from the fire, move that from the fire, it doesn't have all the heat and support of the other things making the fire, sources of energy, and it dies out and fizzles out. That's what happens to us. When we start missing services and start neglecting them, we become weaker and weaker and further away from our brethren, further and further away from God. We become lukewarm, then we become cold, and then we just fizzle out. We need to be here. We need one another. God has given us one another to help protect us from being drowned in all this that's going on in the world around us. And that's why in Hebrews 3, 12 and 13, he said, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." We could depart from the living God. So, he says, "Exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." And so from Psalm 124, and thinking about this idea of escape, in view of our escape, we realize the Lord's presence. We recognize the Lord's protection. And then finally, we respect the Lord's preeminence. Verse 6 and 7 of Psalm 124. "Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us as prey to their teeth," the enemy's teeth. "Our Lord, our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth." See how he is blessing the name of the Lord? When we respect the Lord's preeminence, respect the fact that he is in charge, and respect the fact that if it had not been for the Lord on our side, we would still be in Satan's snare. If we don't respect that, we're in trouble. But if we respect it, we will bless his name. We will come out and praise in his name. And we need to praise the name of the Lord. You know, when we read those verses, we see that it is possible, if we fail to bless the name of the Lord, it is possible to fall back. and be entangled again in the snares of sin and deceit. In 2 Peter 2, beginning verse 20, Peter said, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they acknowledged His preeminence, they obeyed His will, but now they are again entangled in them," that is the pollutions of the world, "and overcome," overwhelmed, swallowed up by the pollutions of the world again. The latter end is worse for them than the beginning. It would be better for them not to have known the way of righteousness and have known it, turned from the holy commandment delivered to them. It has happened to them according to this true proverb. Here's these mental images. A dog returns to his own vomit. You ever seen that? It's disgusting, isn't it? It's what Peter said. It looks like when a child of God leaves God. It's more disgusting than a dog returning to his own vomit. He pukes up the poison that made him sick in the first place, then turns right around, licks it up again. And a sow having washed till wallowing in the mire. That can happen to us if we don't continually bless the name of the Lord. Too often we take His name in vain, use it frivolously, as if the word God was just some other common word, like any other word. We see people on the internet and in text, and they write OMG, oh my God. It's just a casual thing to say, just throw it out there. God's name is not casual. His name is to be reverenced and feared, His very name. "Do not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." That was given to the Israelites of the Old Testament, and it's a command to the Christians of the New Testament. Respect God's name in every setting of life, in every conversation, whether it be through the internet, through text, through telephone, face to face, doesn't matter. God's name gets the highest of respect. And we need to bless and praise His name rather than use it as a common thing in life. But not only in respecting the Lord's preeminence do we bless the name of the Lord, but we broadcast the fame of the Lord. Look at verse 8 of our text in Psalm 124. It says, "Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth." He was making that known, wasn't he? In fact, the entirety of the psalm is trying to broadcast the name of the Lord and the fact that the Lord is on our side. And if the Lord has helped us to escape, and if by the Lord we have escaped, we should be all the more zealous to go out and broadcast His name. I love that tender psalm of Psalm 51, David repenting of the sin with Bathsheba and begging God to forgive him of that sin, not only the sin with Bathsheba, but then the sin of murder when he murdered Bathsheba's husband. He said this in verse 12. He said, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." I love that. "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." Here's a man who was guilty of adultery and guilty of murder. And he said, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." Remember, Nathan had told him, "And the Lord has forgiven you your sin." So God will restore, no matter what sin you've committed. "And uphold me by your generous spirit." And then look at the next verse. "Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you." God, you know, we ought to say this prayer every day. Every time we sin, ask God to forgive us and restore us, and then think, "Then I'll go out and help get others restored." Somebody once said, you can't go to heaven by yourself. You have to take somebody with you. Maybe, maybe not, I don't know. God's not responsible for how people respond, but we're not responsible for how people respond, but we are responsible to whether or not we give them the opportunity to respond by trying to share with them the name of Jesus and the fame of Jesus, to try to teach them the gospel. Remember those in Acts 8, verse 1 to 4, those Christians at Jerusalem? They were thoroughly persecuted, run out of town. And verse 4 says, they went everywhere preaching the word. That's what we need to be doing, right? Going out and broadcasting the name of the Lord. Remember what the Lord told his apostles in Matthew 10? He said, whatever I whisper in your ear, you proclaim from the housetops. That means broadcast it. Broad. Tell others about the Lord. about what He has done for you and what He can do for them if they obey the gospel. So in view of our escape, we have escaped. And that wonderful feeling of escape, I still remember that feeling when I climbed through that rabbit hole out of that cave. Oh, it looked so good out there. But you know, it wasn't as good as the feeling I had when I come up out of that baptistry when I was 13 years old. With my sins washed away. Oh, it felt so good. And I remember an older lady of mine, a Christian, she was telling me, she remembered when she came up out of the waters. She said, you know what I want to do? She said, I wanted to go out there and just tell everybody. Obey the gospel. I wanted everybody to have this feeling. I identified with that because I had the same feeling. But then by and by, we let that flame die. We need to get that flame going again. Start sharing the gospel with people. That's the greatest good you can ever do for another soul, is to teach them the gospel of Christ in hopes that they'll respond with obedience. Let's pray.
Hello, dear friends. My name is Michael Pickford, and I'd just like to ask you a question. Are you a child of God? Are you really a Christian? I mean the way the Bible says to become a Christian. The Bible teaches that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. After we hear, we must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. In John 8:24, the Lord said, unless you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. After hearing and believing, we must be willing to repent of our sins, change our lives, decide to serve the Lord, Acts 2:38. Now we're ready to confess our faith in Christ. Romans 10:9-10 says that with the heart we believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now we are prepared for baptism. The Lord said in Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. In Acts 22:16, Ananias said to Saul, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Do you want your sins washed away? This verse tells us how it is done. After doing this, we are now a Christian, a child of God, and we are commanded to remain faithful to the Lord until we die in order to receive the crown of life. Revelation 2:10. Again, thank you for listening and have a wonderful day.